The United States now, where NATO leaders have promised at least 40 billion euros in military aid to Ukraine within the next year to help in its fight against Russia. Members have also pledged their support for what's been described as an irreversible path to future membership of the Alliance for Ukraine, though no formal timeline has been agreed. It comes as the host of the summit, Joe Biden, is facing a growing chorus from within his own party, urging him not to run again in November. More on that in a moment. But first, we spoke to our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, a little bit earlier and began by asking him about the NATO support pledged to Ukraine.
Well, the big announcement was finally the transfer of F-16 fighter bombers to the Ukrainian Air Force from the Netherlands, amongst other donors. Norway as well involved here, and Denmark, because they're US-made planes and all the technology that goes with those planes. The US has the final say on whether they can be donated onto the Ukrainians, despite the fact that it's the taxpayers in Europe who've been paying for them. The technology is owned by the Americans, and they have the final say on any kind of transfers. But they have now given the go-ahead for a batch of planes to go to Ukraine, along with the pilots who've been in training for months and months now, and the air crews and the ground crews to back them up. And that goes along with the previous day's announcement of additional Patriot missile batteries and a whole bunch of tactical air defense batteries to really bolster the Ukrainian air defense system. The importance of that emphasized by the bomb attack, the missile attack on the Children's Hospital in Kyiv on Monday. So now they are finally getting equipment that perhaps they could have gotten months ago had the US Congress passed quicker a financing bill that would have enabled some of this technology to be paid for and transferred immediately. But that has all been good for the Ukrainian cause. NATO itself emphasizing that they're in this together and that they are going to stand with Ukraine because it's part of a collective security benefit for the entire Western world, that if Ukraine was to fall, then other countries, NATO countries, particularly in the Baltic or Poland, would then, they believe, be threatened. And they're saying, no, we're going to stop them in Ukraine. And we're also a point made by President Biden. We want to demonstrate unity of purpose in NATO itself, not just against the Russians, but to show any other countries around the world. And they're particularly pointing the fingers at China and Iran and North Korea and saying, look, the West is united and very determined and spending an awful lot of money these days to back up its views that we are going to stand for our own interests. So please don't mess with us.
So, Sean, the green light then for the transfer of that military hardware, but still no timeline for membership of the Alliance for Ukraine.
No, that's always going to be a tricky one because you can't take a country that's at war into the alliance, because the Article 5 of the alliance says an attack on one is an attack on all. So that would mean that all of the countries at NATO would automatically be at war with Russia, and nobody's going to sign up for that. Secondly, Ukraine is not in a position to meet the NATO criteria for membership, and nobody expects it would be because it's a country at war.
And of course, Sean, this all comes as the man hosting the event, US President Joe Biden, he's facing increasing pressure over his own future. We've seen more Democrats adding their voices to that chorus calling on him not to run again.
Yeah, I had thought earlier in the week that this NATO summit would give Joe Biden a little bit of a respite from the political crisis that he finds himself in, that members of his party would do the decent thing and not indulge in party politics and backstabbing while all these foreign leaders are in town. But obviously I was wrong about that, because we've seen people starting to come out. You had those remarks from Nancy Pelosi on the Morning Joe program yesterday, the very program that Biden himself had phoned into on Monday to say, I am sticking in this race. And yet you had Nancy Pelosi, one of his closest political allies, saying, well, we're waiting for the president's decision and it's up to him to make his decision. Well, we all thought 48 hours previously on that very program he'd made the decision. She tried to walk those comments back later in the afternoon, but the rabbit was out of the traps at that stage. Then in the House of Representatives, the number is now up to 9 members there who have publicly called for Joe Biden to drop out of the race. The Senate, Joe Biden's real power base in the Capitol Hill, they have been so far pretty tight in not commenting. But today in the Washington Post. Even that dam has been breached now. Senator Peter Welch from Vermont, the state he shares with Bernie Sanders, he has written an op-ed in the Washington Post. Again, starting in the usual way, of the greatest respect for Joe Biden, but I'm worried that we're not going to defeat Trump. And that quote, for the good of the party and the good of the country, I'm calling on President Biden now to withdraw from the race. So he has become the first senator to publicly call for Biden to drop out of the race. And then we had some fresh reporting overnight from one of the doyens of the reporter corps here in Washington, Carl Bernstein. He of the famous Woodward and Bernstein reporting duo on Watergate all those decades ago, he's talking about the frustration that Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, is feeling about the current situation and his desire to have a frank discussion with the president to sort out what's going on, to clear up things up, just go to meet Joe Biden with a small group of senior supporters from Congress, have a discussion about the situation and try and clear things up. But clearly, somebody like Carl Bernstein getting this kind of information, it indicates that there is a deep groundswell of real concern amongst Democrats on Capitol Hill and also in the wider community of donors and supporters of the Democrat Party.
And just on that, Sean, briefly, it's not just the elected Democratic politicians who are calling for change at the top of the ticket. We saw yesterday Hollywood actor and previous supporter George Clooney. He's also urged Joe Biden not to run again. How significant is that intervention?
I think it is significant. I mean, normally you'd say, well, a Hollywood actor, kind of so what? But the Democrat Party does like the stardust. They do like to have Hollywood actors lending that their fame to the party, giving candidates boosts. But Clooney in particular has been a really big fundraiser for the party and a big, very big donor in his personal capacity. But he fundraises for these presidential campaigns, did it for Biden, did it for Hillary Clinton, did it for Obama. He was writing in a big op-ed in the New York Times yesterday that he had hosted a fundraiser for Biden 3 weeks ago. And he said he's not the same man that he was a year or two ago. He's concerned about his physical decline and thinks for the benefit of the party, again, he should drop out of the race.
And that was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, speaking to us a little bit earlier.